So we've been studying Romans. I just want to give you that word because I want you to walk. You may walk in here today like this, just crouched over with the worries of the world. I want you to walk out like this. There are worries of the world, but I'm marching. What can he do to me? God is for me. Who can be against me? Who can win? And, you know, that's a mindset. That's a mindset. I was reading about a football team the other day, Villa Park, in fact. My grandson plays at El Medina, and at Villa Park is like their rival in the city of Orange. But Villa Park is really, really good, rated 6th in the county. And they play, their coach has scheduled their preseason games. This might not mean much to you, but in the world of sports, it's a big deal. But in the world of life, it's even a bigger deal. They scheduled Modern Day, the number one team in the nation. They scheduled Servite, number five team in Orange County. They scheduled Mission Viejo, which is like number four in the county. And they don't play, that's Division One teams. Those guys are like the beast. But these guys are Division Four. Their coach says, I schedule these guys because I want my boys to not be afraid of anybody. Even though they're playing these schools that recruit from everywhere. This little Villa Park school has a coach that's the guy I want to coach me. He says, I don't want them to be afraid of nobody. Everybody puts on their pants one leg at a time. I'm breaking in them the intimidation, and this is in the sports world of that age bracket, of these people being big and they're way better and they're and I'm little and I. He's killing that. Now, for me, that's a bummer for El Medina. But I'll tell you what, before my grandson plays them, I will pump him up. This is where you get to man up, I'll tell him. This is where you get the opportunity to play against guys that are really good. Be a man out there. Hold your position. Do your job. Okay. And this is what we get to do in the realm of life. Do your job. And your job is to be a Christian wherever you're at. It's not to avoid and have God bless you so you don't have problems, or that you will be blessed and you'll have all the great things in life. You'll have a combo. It's the way it works. You'll have a combo. You may be in the season of blessing, but the season of trial is coming. I tell people this, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or heading towards a trial. And there are seasons of blessing, and praise God if you're in one, enjoy it and handle it well. Handle it by being who you're supposed to be in God in that season. This is the thing, whatever season it is, we need to suit up and show up for that season. If I'm in the desert, then I need to deal with the desert. If I'm in the wonderful summertime, I need to deal with that. Me, I prefer in life to be around 80 degrees at all times. Wouldn't you? These people say, I love this hot weather. It's like, you're nuts. This is not cool. And I'd love the surf to not break on shore when we do baptisms. Not a big request, God. Let's have it. Or we should go to Little Corona and do it there like all the big boys do. But oh no, we're Huntington. Well, Westminster now. We brave the water. All right, hey, so we're in Romans. And let that be a word to you guys today, man. Walk out of here head high. That I embrace the life that God has allowed, and I will conquer it. I will not be conquered by it. I will not be conquered by it. And I know some of you in here got physical ailments that you're dealing with. And I get it to whatever degree I can get it, because I don't have that. I can empathize with you and sympathize with you. But even in that, you still got your spirit. And you still got the ability to do some things, do those things. So, Romans up to this point that we've been studying, in Romans up to 5, In 5:21, we kind of get a synopsis of the gospel, and Paul writes this: "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death." You know, the biggest thing that God has conquered is sin, and the consequence that it causes is death. That's the biggest thing. That's what gives me my greatest hope, is that death has been conquered. We will all die, unless the Lord comes back in our lifetime, we will all die and lose this body. Now, the word sin means to fall short. He tells us here, all people fall short. Fall short of what? The image bearer that God designed for us to be of Himself. The reflection of our Creator was given to us to be on this physical plane. Angels don't have this physical plane. Demons don't have this physical plane. You and I have been gifted in a particular way with a human body that can procreate, be creative, do all these things that those people in the realm of the spirit, which is a material world, is just different than this, are not necessarily gifted in. That have not been made. No other creature, as it tells us in Scripture, has been made in the image of God. We are image bearers. We fall short of that image, starting with the first person, Adam, all the way through up to you and me, this generation. From the beginning of time, we fall short of that image, starting with God. And that image, that falling short, that's what sin means. So name an area in your life you fall short. You don't live up to that potential. We strive to live up to our potential, and we continually fall short. It's our nature. It's that sin nature that is attached to us that causes that. And since our first relationship was with God, and the end result of sin is separation, that's why our biggest struggle in life is to try to find connection. That's what we do. From the time we're little, we're seeking connection. We're seeking, and that's why some of you sitting in here today are not comfortable in your own skin. You're not even connected to yourself. But the thing is, when we are disconnected from God, God is eternal. So that disconnection, that falling short, makes it eternal. We are eternally separated from God by our sin nature. That is why without Jesus, without that consequence of sin, which is death, somehow being overcome, which Paul tells us in Corinthians is our enemy. The enemy of you and me is death. It separates us from the existence we're supposed to live in, which was this planet, and whatever else God has for us. So he says, so just as sin ruled over all people, caused all people to fall short, caused all people to continue to fall short even when they try not to. It's not for a lack of willingness, it's for a lack of ability. Because in our hearts, a lot of us, you're in a relationship, in your heart you want to have a good relationship. But yet in your actions and in your mind, you continually fall short of it. Just take that to everything. He says, then brought them to death. Now something changed. Now God's wonderful grace rules instead. God did something. What was his grace? He came and conquered sin by not sinning. He never fell short in anything. And then he took on himself the punishment or the consequence of sin, which is separation. He took that death upon himself. So now we have what he says here. Because God's grace rules instead, gave us right standing with God. We now have right standing with God. In my day growing up, you were considered, has anybody ever heard the term, that's a righteous dude? Yeah. You know what the word righteous simply means? It means to be right with. When you are right with somebody, you're righteous. He took what separated us, sin, and he made it right. So now we have connection with God. And you know what that results in? And resulting in eternal life. When we were separated, we had no eternal life with God. Now that we are made right with him, we are now gifted with eternal life through Jesus, Christ our Lord. Grace rules or sin rules? That's the way it works. So now that I have this eternal life with God, I am now right with him, not because of what I do. I am right with him because of what Jesus did. So now I begin, what we're going to read here in a second, is I get a new life. So Paul goes on to say in Romans 6, first of all, he deals with the question that the Jews would have. Is, wait a minute, we've had all this law we followed to be right with God. And it didn't make us right with God because we couldn't keep it. See, God gave, and whenever you hear the law spoken of in Scripture, it always talks about the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses, wrote them down for him. He broke it, but he wrote them down. 10 things that man needed to do if he wanted to overcome that which was in him and be right with God. And man has never been able to do it. Nobody can do it. And so, a question could arise, well then if grace overcomes sin, wouldn't it be advantageous of us to sin like crazy? So that God's grace can be more and more poured out and more glory to God? And take advantage of this relationship I have that Jesus built for us, and I am now eternally alive with God. So we see here, he says, well then, in verse 1 of chapter 6, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? The answer is, of course not. Since, and he changes the dynamic here, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, that's why we get baptized. When we join Christ in baptism, and baptism is that symbolic dying with Christ, we die with him, we identify with his death, and we also receive new life by resurrection. So he says, listen, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. The price, the penalty of death, of complete separation, was taken care of in baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So I go from having sin and falling short in everything in my life, causing separation, to now being given a new life. That's taken care of. Now I have a new life with God. Why would I go back to that as a way to live life? The problem is, we do. And the reason is, God did not take our minds away. You were given, as we talked about in the last couple weeks, a new heart. You were given a heart and a relationship with God. Now you have a heart that is sensitive to God. Have you noticed that when you came to Jesus, and if you stay for any length of time in learning how to do this new life, your heart begins to get sensitive towards people? That hard heart we had, that wounded heart that was always protecting itself, begins to have a sensitivity that it didn't have. The problem is the mind doesn't. The mind has to be made new. And Paul and Chris was talking about getting in the Word. The Word has to be washed. One of the reasons we repeat phrases in worship, it's so that your mind hears it and hears it and hears it. And it starts to filter down here to where belief is formed. And then over time, as we hear the Word of God, it begins to become a belief pattern in us. And so now I have my old mind, which has been formed by the world I grew up in, which gave me the perspective of the world that there is. And now I have this new mind being formed for this new life to be lived. So that is a process. He says, listen, since we have been united with him, I'm going to read middle five, okay. We will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves, sin-filled selves, was crucified. Now I have relationship with God. It was put aside with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. What happens is sin loses its power. Its power to what? Separate us from God. It loses its power to control every aspect of our lives. That is why as I walk with God, I begin to sin less against my wife. I begin to sin less by not stealing. See, when I first got saved, I wanted God to take drugs out of my life to do that. And then in my thinking, I've shared it with you guys before, I used to steal a lot of beer and trade it for lots of stuff and for money including money. And in the midst of that, I decided, thank you, God, because this is how not transformed my mind was. My heart was excited. I got Jesus now, and I really felt a deliverance. The obsession to use was lifted. And I, in my thinking, it was like, whoa, instead of giving the dope man and my connections and doing all this stuff that I'm doing, I can still steal and start to lift my family up economically because I have ruined them economically. I thought that was a great plan. And I embarked on that for 3 months, 3 or 4 months after getting clean. I was doing that, and all of a sudden I was able to pay stuff and call up Montgomery. There was a company called Montgomery Ward, and actually pay down my credit card because they're the only ones that were foolish enough to give me a credit card. And probably why one of the reasons they went under. But I was able to pay that. And I was able to, you know, have, instead of being on Treese buying, you know, we had the twin girls and they were in diapers and that, and it was expensive. And to keep them in those diapers. But I was able now to buy boxes of diapers. So I thought, oh my God, God is blessing me. I know. You may think that's sick, but that just shows you how twisted my mind was, that I thought it was a brilliant idea. And I wasn't even ashamed to give $5 at church. So, something happened here. Oh. So what he says here is, look at, so that sin might lose, there's that word might, lose its power to control me. It's lost its power to condemn me. See, sin can't condemn me anymore. I have been made alive to Jesus. So what that means is now that I am have a new life, God starts to deal with me as his child. I now have a relationship with the living God that redeemed me from my past life and brought me into relationship with God. So God will discipline me. And that's what he started doing to me back then. He's been disciplining me my whole life. You know, a lot of times in my sin nature, I didn't know he was disciplining me. I just thought I had bad luck. But in this life, he started disciplining me. And how did he do that? I never got popped. He started convicting me. You know that's wrong, Joe. Didn't you just tell this guy you're a Christian and now you're selling him 30 cases? Is that a little weird there, Joe? Is that something? Why Scripture tells us, come let us reason together. Though your sin be like scarlet, be red, be bloody, I will make it all better. I'll make it white. And he started reasoning with me. And then he reasoned with me to the point over the next couple months to where if I traded a bottle of Corona for a Dr. Pepper in a store in the middle of summer going down Beach Boulevard, that was wrong. God said, hey, Joe, you want to be this man of God? Because that's really what I wanted to be. In my heart, I wanted to be a man of God. In my mind, I was all over the place. If you saw me in church, you didn't think I did anything wrong because I was praising Jesus. Monday through Friday, I was snaking. And it didn't really have a lot of conviction about it. You know, I see people in here. I see you walking in your own sins. And I've heard it too. Don't judge me. God's working on me. And believe me, he is. You better believe that too. Believe it in your heart, because he is. And so I step back. I'll let you know that it's not right with what you're doing. You know, and you may think it's right, and you got all your logical reasons just like I did. It's a better way. I can use money for good instead of bad. I get it. But what I've learned is it ain't worth it. And so God had to convict me to where taking a bottle out of a broken case that's already broken, I can't even bring it into the store, and taking one bottle out of it, cleaning the broken glass off it, and trading it was, Joe, that's stealing. That's stealing too. And it's like, God, you're picky. So like you're like into no stealing. I was, is that the deal? Took me a while to snap to that. Same thing. See, what we tend to do sometimes is reward ourselves with sin. I haven't been in the porn site for a while now. Good for me. You know what I ought to do? I ought to reward myself with a little porn. See, no porn, no lust is no lust. So what do you have to do? Well, I got to fight that battle then. Because my mind, in my heart, I agree, God. I agree. In my mind, Hey, because this is what our minds does. It rationalizes. Well, at least you ain't doing, and we start naming our stuff. At least you're not doing this. At least you're not doing that. It's like, no, here's what you get to do. You have been freed by grace, so now you get to learn to fight the battle. But I keep losing. Well, you're fighting it with the wrong tools. Confess your fault to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Get yourself accountable then. Do something. Do something different. See, I had to do something different. I had to not steal, so I had to learn to control my money better. I had to learn to be honest. I lived a whole secret life. See, sin nature always has you live secrets. It always has secrets involved. You're freest when you don't live secrets. You're freest. That's what grace gives us. But not only that, see, you can't do it. You have to have in the new life, and we'll get to it later. In the new life, we get help. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and lives with us and gives us power to overcome that which always overcame us. Doesn't mean we're sin free, because we're not. We're in the presence of it all the time. And the mere fact you're in the presence of it, you will be prone to do it. Plus, we're dealing with our mind and its programming from our lives. that in your new life did not get removed. God wants to wash it, wants to rearrange it, wants to change it. New heart, same mind, must be refitted. So he tells us this. We know, verse 6, that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to it, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The ultimate power of sin is separation, death. We've been freed from that. But I can still act in ways that separate me. My son loved the Lord, but he acted and took a made a decision one night out of many, many other decisions. He made many great decisions up to that one night. And he made a bad decision, and he paid the ultimate price on this earth of separation from his body. He died of an overdose. He made that decision, and I couldn't save him from it. I couldn't save him. One of the great things in my life. You know, I was sharing with Friday night, I was sharing that, you know, God has allowed me to be a part of helping a lot of people and being working. But I couldn't save my own son, and I couldn't save my daughter. And it's like, God, that is one of the suckiest things I wrestle with in my head. But I know in my heart, they're alive. They were connected with God. Jesus saved them. I know by decisions of one and the decision of someone else, they paid great prices. That other person's sin caused a separation. And I get it. So I tell you this not from a lofty place of being above life. I'm telling you from in the bowels of pain that the power of sin was broken. The presence of sin and the ramifications that can come from that are still present among us. But what we get to do is now live in greater freedom to not make decisions that are destructive, that are actually constructive. And that as God cleaned up me, he also used me. I was used multiple times in the beer company to help people. You know, I became the Bible guy. And you know, it was weird, man. And I actually, like, I'm making amends. I told you guys this before because I tell you these things and sometimes repeat them because you need to get it. Because the same thing is going to happen in your life. I had to go to the beer company. See, God doesn't just let junk go. He makes you make amends. He makes you deal with it. Instead of a wounder, we become wounded healers. So I wounded that company. I ripped them off. I owe them. I told God, that's a bad freaking idea. So let me get this straight. You want me to go in there and tell them I stole a lot, often, for years? I'm going to go to prison. What am I going to do? Lord, I got a wife and three little kids. What do you want to do? You know what he told me? Talk to your wife. Second bad idea. Get me Peter. Get me somebody else to talk to up there. Somebody that thinks like me. Yeah. Yeah. Therese. I think I need to go to the beer company and tell them what we did. And I'll, you know. Well, what'd you do? I just told her. I kept all that secret. You did what? How long did you do this? So let me get this straight. That we even left the subject of the beer company. You mean to tell me that you'd rag on me for spending money? When you had hundreds and hundreds of dollars in the pocket in your coat for whatever you were doing? Yes. Yeah, go tell them. I had to work through that. See, God gave me a new heart, but he didn't say, all your past, Joe, is done. It's all good now. You're with Jesus. Forget it all. Forgetting what's in the past. Moving into the future. He said, no, we tie up the past. Go make amends to your wife and then live them. Don't just, yeah, make amends. Live it. And then go tell the beer company. And I did. I did. After about a week of me fighting with God. And every night, that's how you know you got God. I'm fighting him in here. God, that's not, you know. Well, okay then, who should I tell? Because there's layers of management. Who should I tell? Tell your supervisor. Oh, Christ. Not him. And I went and told him. I said, man, I called him up from my route. That's how scared I was. Told him, and Tree said, go do it. And I said, well, I could go, they could, I don't know, I could lose my job. Minimum, I'll lose my job. So secondly, I don't know what'll happen. They'll prosecute me, whatever. I'm not going to lie. And we agreed that we wouldn't lie, and I went in there. And see, the grace of God extends to your past. That's why it's more powerful than sin. The grace of God isn't only about you and God right now, and he's going to give me grace in the future. He's going to give me grace in the past. He's going to give me grace for the things I did and for the damage that was done. He's going to restore our minds from the damage of the past, not just build a new mind. He has to deal with that part of us. He's a great God. So I went to the my guy and told him, sit down. I got some bad news to tell you. He goes, what is it? I go, are you sitting down? He goes, wait a minute, let me get to my office. And he got to his office, and I said, okay, I'll be in. I think I was in the yard or something, and I went into his office, and I said, hey, man, I'm a Christian now, and I need to make my amends. I'm in recovery, too, so I need to make my amends to you, and I need to pay whatever the price is for that. And he said, what did you do? And I said, once I dropped a case and broke it. I wanted to start there, start slow. No, I told the man, I stole as much as I could, as often as I could. He goes, well, how much do you think you stole? And I said, I have no idea, a lot. And he goes, wow. He goes, okay. He goes, well, let me think about this. And he thought about it, and he goes, you know what, man? I see your life, and I'm a Christian too, he said. He goes, I'm a Christian too. And you know what? Your life's changing, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, keep doing what you're doing. And it's, I'll drop it. Yeah. Yeah. So I went to the bathroom and cleaned up. I shouldn't have said that. That's a visual you don't need. But listen. For when we died with Christ, verse 7, we were set free from the power of sin to destroy us. The power of sin was removed. God showed me in that moment that. And this is the thing. I learned early to be committed to God. If I fought him on it, I wrestled with him. I didn't think it was a good idea. I thought I was going to go away. Therese was, however, she was prepared in her own heart to deal with that. My mind, based on my old lifestyle, always went to worst case scenario. I never thought great thoughts when I was there. I always thought bad things were going to happen. This is going to happen. That was going to happen. So what happened was that God showed me that his grace extends beyond. And I became a good beer truck driver. I didn't steal anymore. I was God had to teach me, and He had to teach me to deal with a paycheck. And I had to learn to get a paycheck. Then He brought us to ministry, because I begged Him to let me be in ministry. I want to help people like me. And that's how I got to the mission. And I took a massive cut in pay from that. And we, the story. I couldn't even write out a budget. We had not enough money to cover our basic bills. Basic bills back in the day. And yet we decided to do that. And so our faith walk with God is my and Teresa's faith walk with God. Your faith walk with God is your faith walk with God right where you're at. Now, all that has built and has formed me and transformed my thinking to see God in ways I didn't. It took me years in the church to be willing to do a recovery type church and to step out like that because I was afraid. So I had to have the faith to trust that this thing was really of God. And then I've had to grow in faith all the way. It is true when Paul tells us it is faith from first to last. It is faith from first to last. It's always faith. It's always growing in that. And that growing transforms in our mind to where it settles in our heart. And so wherever it takes us, the grace of God can carry us. And the grace of God for you people in here that are afraid to deal with some of the stuff in your past and you just want things to go away, you don't want to handle it this way. The grace of God is a healing balm. And He will enable you. He will never take you deeper than you need to go. If God's best for me was to go to prison, I would have went. But in His wisdom, it wasn't. For some of you in here, it was. For some of us in here, God's grace is going to enable you to carry bodies that don't work like you want them to. I don't have that grace because I don't need it. My body works good right now. But you need the grace. I need the grace for the things I'm in. That's why He sets a table before me, prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies so I can be with God in what I have to deal with, and His grace is my victory. Amen. If He's taken me to it, He's going to take me through it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. To the core of my being, this thing has trouble with it. In here, not a problem at all. In here, and I'm thankful God gave me someone in my life that's as sold out as I am. She handles it differently a little bit because she does. She's a different person. But together, we're in it. We're in it to win it, and we're going to win it. And you know what? All that's been robbed, Bible tells me I will receive it all back. Many fold. Hey, to me, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. It's a good deal for you, and I suggest you take it. I suggest you take the grace that you need and ask God for the grace you need right now and the things you're dealing with right now. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You need the grace today. The power of sin to condemn me. The law, when I can't condemn me anymore, I'm in relationship with God. That has been taken care of. Now it's all a matter of what does God want and what does God allow and how best should I handle that and honor God. Because this is what I want to be. I want to be a good image bearer. I want to be a good image bearer of God. To the man, we need them in our culture, do we not? Your work needs them. They need to see people that bear the image. And you know what the image of Jesus is? It's scarred up. The body He wears in heaven is tore up, but yet completely victorious. What can He do to us? We're more than conquerors. All right, can we stand up? You guys in it to win it? Start with where you're at right now. I'm going to be an image bearer to God right where I am right now. Whether I'm on the top of the mountain, whether I'm under the mountain, I'm going to bear the image of God. I will handle it well through the grace of God, and I will do what God says, whether I agree with it up here or not, because God said it. His thoughts are true. His words are life. They're life. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that through you, the power of sin has been broken in my life. I am no longer under the curse of death. And because I believe in you, I have new life. So I understand that I am learning and will continue to learn how to live in a new mindset, how to learn and grow in the things of God as I go through the experiences of life. I want to be an image bearer. I know that is your will, and I am open to it. Change me and give me the courage to do it your way, even when I don't get it. I mean that. I'm not kidding. I mean it. Amen. God bless you guys.